Information dissemination. If it's good, it's a boon to society. If it isn't, well, it's disinformation, right? Joining me now to talk about information dissemination and what he has done to make it both a successful delivery thing and, good listening. From the Freedom's Fence Line Get to Steppin' podcast, this is one Keith Taylor. Good afternoon, sir.
What's up, Bill? How you doing, brother?
Third hour, 2 hours behind me. That's always nice. It's a great feeling. I haven't done something that endangered my job yet.
You're handling it as the pro that you are.
Whatever it works out to be. Now, the Freedom's Fence Line podcast, when did this begin?
Bill, we started about probably a year and 3-4 months ago, somewhere along in there, when we actually started going into a podcast mode. But we kind of started with just a live kind of deal on Facebook. But, as you and I have discussed, we needed to, if we were going to do the podcast deal and get the information out and seek the truth, whether it be through the Get to Steppin' podcast or whether it be through the Joy in the Junk podcast that operates under our freedomsfenceline.com banner, we all realized that, you were going to have an open discussion to get the truth out. And I think that's when the podcast mode really started to take hold.
Right. Now, how many episodes do you know how many episodes you put out already?
We're working on number 70 right now. And I'll say one thing. I've seen a lot of talent come through the studio, but following that young lady, I believe it was your niece in the earlier block, I knew was going to be pretty tough. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
Listening to her, how impressive she was about what she's got going on. And it's getting those kind of conversations that makes that 70 look like it just got started, and it makes it look how bright it is out in front of us.
Well, but everything's got to start somewhere. Now, the interesting thing about Freedom's Fence Line is that when you took off, a lot of times a podcast will stall or plateau or something. You guys have constantly been on a upwards trajectory, haven't you?
We have. We've been blessed. And I've said this, we've said this all along. We were put in place by divine intervention. I believe that. Sat down at this table inside this studio, and I'm covered with sawdust because we're working on some backdrop stuff and all in the studio, trying to get ready for a new season, a new look, so to speak, within the studio. But we have been on an upward trajectory because with the input from folks like yourself, it's just immeasurable, because you were running a podcast before anybody knew what podcasting even looked like. And that kind of information and listening to that and being that sounding board for us has been tremendous in showing us where the foundation's built at. And that upward trajectory that we've been on, I believe, is because we haven't feared, we haven't strayed away from the truth, and we've been to where we said we've got to have conversation with both sides. Even if they're a masked rhino and they've got this mask on under that conservative banner, oh, my gosh, how do you talk to these kind of people? Well, how do you get conversation open if you don't at least sit down at a table with someone?
Right. You got to talk to him. You got to talk to him.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
I mean, one of the things you did, though, is you you're out of Campobello, but you decided to be very central. You were very central to the in the run up to the special election for sheriff, because you had every single one of them except, or did you have all of them on?
We had all but one. We had one that declined to come, but we had eight. I believe it was eight. And with the way that we started in a local mayoral race and then of shifting into the county race with the sheriff, and now with the folks that we've had in studio, Lieutenant Governor Pamela Evatt, Alan Wilson, our current Attorney General, is running for governor,
right.
David Pasco running for Attorney General. We saw that there was so much of a need outside of Campobello, outside of Spartanburg County, that were looking for somewhere that they could garner up that truth, that they could hear the conversation from both sides, and then entice that thinking that says, I need to make my own mind up. They're going to give us the information. They're going to put it out there from these people out of their own mouth and their own words, and then I've got to make my own decision.
One of the things about the podcast format is it gives you enough flexibility to where you can get them on there and actually have a meaningful conversation with them. How long are the episodes? Like 2 hours?
Yeah, we've had some that ran over 2 hours. We're running about an hour and 20 minutes is what we're averaging now.
Right.
And you look at the clock, and before you know it, you're up on that mark. Because the conversation, you never know where it's going to go. We had Sarita Edgerton, representative, and Representative Josiah Magnuson on a few weeks ago. We had no idea it was going to turn into the S-323, I believe it is, the unborn protection bill discussion that it did. And we'd had Alexa Newman on prior to that. And because we got into that, the comments that we got, over 1,000, appreciative of the fact that we had these women sitting in too, giving their thoughts and their opinions, again, bringing that discussion, that open discussion from both sides, that you can find the truth in the middle.
Well, I think the temptation would be, in most cases, would be for you to get out there and listen to your listeners, because that's what, you know, you want to please them. But instead of doing that, you're bringing all sides to the table if they'll come, which is, that's sort of refreshing. It doesn't put you in a bubble.
No, and I think, Bill, us, one decision that we made about 3.5 months ago, and look, we love the likes, the follows, and the shares, but you got to be careful. You and I have had this discussion, getting caught up in that like, follow, and share bubble, and that's why we made the move to go completely everything uploaded through the freedomsfenceline.com website to kind of branch out to where all the episodes are ran through the website, and it accesses so many more people, and they want to hear the content. They're not just on there clicking 3 seconds or whatever and jumping off. And I think we wanted to be as much viral stuff as we have seen. We wanted to be content driven to where they did listen. And when you see a retention rate that we're seeing now, well over 60 minutes, then they're tuning in for the right reason, I believe.
Yeah. Now, as we head into the election season, you guys are shifting, and you're beginning to, because of the reputation you've garnered, you're starting to get some bigger people. And we don't have to go into who that's going to be, but I'm pretty sure that you're going to have just about every player that's out there in South Carolina in the landscape that's going to be trying to seek elected office. Is that fair?
That is fair, and we're thankful for the help, again, from a local radio celebrity for the help there. But you get these people in national level, like you said. We're not going to go into any names yet, but we're working through some dates on getting these folks on as well.
And that just comes from the consistency of the fact that, you know, sort of like, you know, this is what Charlie Kirk would have liked. He would have liked to have seen somebody out there like you doing this kind of thing, trying to get everybody to the table to have the civil discourse, just because that's much better than the uncivil discourse, which includes plate carriers and quick clot. And
amen to that.
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that stuff.
No.
Especially
no.
When you can't. Especially when you can't say plate carriers like me. So anyway, Freedom's Fence Line. Well,
let me. Can I say this, Bill? One thing too that I think we've done real good at driving this is the discussions, whether it be spiritual or cultural or political. I think we've got all of that covered at the table with our Join the Junk Ladies podcast and our Get to Stepping. And again, it's like you've constantly listened to me talk about this and gave the input to say, listen, if you get both sides talking, you're going to find the truth in the middle. And I'm just so thankful that folks like yourself have found that with us, and the investment that you've made through the knowledge that you give us.
That's been my pleasure. What's the website to go catch this podcast?
Ask Freedoms, all one word, freedomsfence-line.com, and all episodes are on there.
Keith Taylor, Freedoms Fence Line Podcast, thank you for taking the time to join me today, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Have a good one.
Yes, sir.
See you, bye.
Yes, sir. There's a peril to getting into these bubblicious worlds out there, especially when you don't know what's real and what isn't. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. I don't like bubbles. I don't like bubbles in industry because whenever you see a bubble, this is normally something that is being grown artificially. Okay, this is not some natural organic thing. This is why companies like Common Sense Retirement, for example, do so well, because they don't like bubbles either. Right now, you got experts worrying about the AI bubble. Now, the stock market has retreated 10% from the peak of the at the end of October. But recently, Sam Altman told employees that OpenAI wanted to build 250 gigawatts of new computing capacity by 2033, a plan that would cost over $10 trillion by today's standards. This would be equivalent to a third of current U.S. peak energy usage. Then you have people at, like David Dan at the American Prospect. He's worried that Silicon Valley and Wall Street are in sync, conjuring up sketchy credit deals that are pointing us toward another financial crash. This is why I don't like them. Then, last month the big focus was round-tripping, the way that sundry AI and tech companies are investing in their own customers, with NVIDIA giving AI companies the investment necessary to buy their graphics processing units and so on. They're double-dipping them. But why stop there? Let's go look at the green energy bubble. That's certainly popping right about now, right? President Z, won't that lay waste to devoted Extinction Rebellion activists all over the world? Then there's the real estate bubble, as homeowners have charged into home buying in the aftermath of the Fed increasing the money supply by 40% in 2020-2021. And then there's the stock market bubble. The SPY is up from $77 in May 2009 to $659 last Friday. That's up 755% since the bottom of the Great Recession. Mind you, M2 is up from $7.2 trillion to $22.2 trillion, a healthy 208% in the same period. And there's only one thing to do. You can check in with Elon's Grok on financial bubbles. The first bubble was the Dutch tulip mania in the 1630s. The Dutch invented the modern world with their Dutch finance, and you can't have modern finance without bubbles. So the Brits got in on the action with the South Sea bubble that popped in 1720. But we've seen other bubbles every 10 years, from the dot-com bubble of 2000 to the real estate bubble of 2008 to the crypto bubble of 2021, and now the AI bubble. So where is it going to end? When is it going to end? But here's one thing to think about. None of these started until the advent of the central bank, and also invented by the Dutch, passed on to the Brits when the Dutch William of Orange became king of Great Britain, and brought to the U.S. by Alexander Hamilton, known to all as the brat of a Scotch peddler. Do central banks and bubbles go together like ham and eggs? I wonder what all those culinary experts and the Federal Reserve System think about that. It could be only that bubbles occur when the central bank is incompetent, as in 1929 and 2008. Probably there's nothing to fear about the AI bubble now that the Fed has 400 economic PhDs at work. And in the latest bubble, the crypto bubble, starring Sam Bankman-Fried, the Fed went in and fearlessly bailed out all the greedy regional bankers before Senator Elizabeth Warren had finished breakfast. And I wonder how all of this has influenced the angry groypers on the right and the Mamdani activists on the left. They're probably right to be angry. Think of a boomer nicely decked out with an IRA devoted SPY, and if it amounted to $100,000 in the end of 2008, it's now $750,500, not counting dividends and RMDs. And if our boomer recklessly invested his IRA in QQQ, his $100,000 would now be $1.9 million. But Gen Z, well, they get nothing. Still, when our student boomer was calling home from Italy in 1970, his three-minute phone call to mom cost about $6 in 1970 dollars. But I'm going to tell you what, Gen Zers. One of the reasons I keep saying, hey, we don't know what's real and what isn't real. I'm going to tell you something that's real. The worst bubble in human history is the government spending bubble. Up from about 8% of GDP in 1900 to about 40% of GDP today. That's the spending. And write this down. After Social Security and Medicare for boomers and the money for the military industrial complex and the education industrial complex and the climate industrial complex and the migrant industrial complex and the debt industrial complex, there will never be much left for you. And when the biggest bubble of all eventually pops, because all bubbles and empires do, then you're going to see a scramble for the crumbs like you've never seen before in your life. And on the other hand, maybe Elon Musk is right, and AI will make work optional. And per Marx, we will hunt in the morning and fish in the afternoon and rear cattle in the evening and criticize after dinner. So while y'all sitting out there right now today, when you're all sitting out there right now today and you're worried about why Marjorie Taylor Greene quit and why, the Epstein files and all these other things. When we got Doge, it just got shut down. We should never have shut down Doge. We should be going after all the bad spending right now today. We should be applying everything we find to the debt. Applying everything you find to the debt means it's easier to serve the debt. Then the Gen Zers maybe have something left over if you pay down the debt. Right now, the best possible thing you could do today, because of the way we're doing things today, is volunteer to go to Mars. Maybe they'll start it over there. Maybe they'll start that over. I don't know. But I'm telling you what, all of these distractions that we fall for on a daily basis, good Lord have mercy. I have no doubt that when these bubbles burst, all of my misgivings are going to come true. And I'm going to get to test my skill set. And I don't expect to do well because nobody's going to do well in this one. Democrats, for the very longest time, have been working on the backdoor nullification of the Constitution. Let me explain that to you. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. One thing I like about the news is that sometimes it has a chunk of meat that's still dripping blood right there in front of my face. So let's do an audible now and let's go to this incredible story coming out, because apparently Candace Owens watched some of the Bourne Identity movies over the weekend. She's getting out there and she put out the claim that the first couple of France have paid an assassination squad to kill her, and they enlisted Israel to help do the dirty deed. This is a twofer, you know, because she's been going after Macron's wife because she says she's a man, whatever, he, she, whatever. Which, you know, okay. If she is or isn't, so what? What does it have to do with us? Why is this something to have a commentary on? With so many things out there, this is perfect. This is a perfect thing about the whole real versus unreal nonsense. That's not a real problem in the world in which we exist, Candace. I'm sorry. Even if you're 100% right, it's not a real thing. And it's characterized as a middle-of-the-night urgent post on X viewed over nearly 40 million times. She claims she was contacted by a high-ranking employee with no name within the French government who told her the Macrons have executed upon and paid for her an assassination in a wide-ranging plot that includes at least one Israeli. I got problems with this. I really do. I we're going after our two favorite things, right? Now, remember, Charlie Kirk, according to her, was assassinated because he's getting too close to this, too close to that. And, she has long been out there talking about Brigitte Macron, whom she repeatedly claimed was born a man. They filed a defamation suit against her in July, accusing her of, I'm being told I'm getting the Israeli check, too. Sure I am. I sure am. Come check out how I live. I'm spending it. I'm living in the lap of luxury. Accusing her of waging a year-long campaign of global humiliation by spreading a rumor, a salacious rumor. She also said her well-placed government, French government source, who has no name, also told her that Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk's assassin trained with the French Legion 13th Brigade with multi-state involvement. That's why he got caught. That's how he got caught. That's how he got caught on video. Here's the thing. This is the thing. When you're out there and you're looking at the most sensational things it could be, most of the time it's never going to be any of those, ever. Most of the time it comes down to being a product of your imagination. She claims that Tyler Robinson didn't act alone. She was named Anti-Semite of the Year in 2024 by watchdog Stop Anti-Semitism for trafficking in vile claims that Jews drank Christian blood and are pedophiles who control the media. In a follow-up post, now remember, she got out there and said that Trump was not protecting her when this lawsuit was filed by the Macrons, and they were not doing anything to protect her from an outside force coming at her. In a follow-up post, she provided an update that she had informed people in the federal government and the White House about what she called the French and Israeli assassination plot, and said she would soon be providing the name of the assassins and international accounts in France and Canada where the money was exchanged. In England, they call this Doolally Tap, right? She's gone Doolally Tap. Weapons grade wacko, something, I don't know. oh, gosh. Now, on the text line, I'm being told, and this is true, Candace Owens does have the right to free speech here in America. She sure does, absolutely. But free speech does not mean that free of consequence sometimes. I mean, Trump has sued people for this kind of stuff, right? Didn't we? I mean, I have no idea. I got no idea what's going on with Brigitte Macron. And truth be told, Candace Owens doesn't either. Unless she has a picture of her. I mean, I don't know how old she is, but she, you know. She claimed in another post today that the price on her head is $1.5 million. When everything is said and done, the public learns that Macron allegedly moved $1.5 million for my assassination. How will the world respond? She screams into the void. Some are calling her bat blank crazy, and it rhymes with hit. That's catching me. That's catching my funny bone. Let's do this real quick. Let's go to Dean in Cashville. Yes, sir.
Hello, Bill.
Yeah.
Bill, I just wanted to say that what you're saying about the people who actually do things like this in the past, you look at D.B. Cooper, and this is a theory about D.B. Cooper, the man got an airplane, planned something, jumped into hostile territory, cashed his gear, and vanished. That's what the OSS does. That's what the CIA does. When people like the professionals, y'all, Bill's right. When this stuff goes down, we see nothing. They're that good. It's like the original Mission Impossible TV show, the movies. They're so good that we don't know about it until it gets declassified. Bill knows what he's talking about. Bill, I thought I'd chime in because you're right. I mean, you're very right. Thank you so much for what you're saying.
Well, I mean, if there was a hit job on her, it'd already be done. She'd be dead. She wouldn't be posting on X. Well, anyway, thank you for the call, sir. Let's go to Patrick from Pickens. Yes, sir.
I think she's just starving for attention, to be honest with you. That's just my thought.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. I mean, she came from a crowd of young people that came up, like Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro and yep. Matt Walsh and all these younger fellas that were coming up, younger people coming up, and I thought she was catching hold the way she was, right? But as we have found with even Tucker Carlson, something, you know, sometimes now we have to ask ourselves with Tucker in the beginning when we first became aware of Tucker, was that an act or is this an act now? And with Candace, was that an act then or is this an act now? And if it is an act like you're talking about, I mean, it's the same kind of act as Marjorie Taylor Greene, who just resigned for some more attention because she was losing, you know, she was losing that popularity contest as well. So I don't know. I mean, I find it's a lot easier. I did this thing back during the Aurora shooting where I said I told the story of everything that was all done according to the mainstream media. Spent the next 3 weeks retracting everything I said because none of it was correct. So now I will simply wait until I have good information. And if it doesn't seem like I'm first on the scene. Huh?
Is that a credible assessment, though, in a sense? Or
I think so. So I don't know. I just look at it, and I would rather be I'd rather be right the first time than have to be right the 16th or 17th time. And I certainly, I worked in military intelligence, never worked with any hit teams. I'm sure that they have things like that in intelligence, and it happens all the time, and we don't ever know about it because they're just that good. And they certainly, you don't have, nobody working at that level as a top employee of the French government is going to make a phone call going, listen, watch out, because they're coming for you. You know, nobody's doing that. So, anyway. Thank you very much for the call, sir.
Yes, you're, sir. You're 100%. I appreciate you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Oh, Candace ratings are 3.6 million a day. Okay, that's great. That's stupendous. I guess that makes everything she says correct. Yeah. This whole real versus unreal thing I've been pushing out here all day long. I guess for you in particular, that hasn't hit just yet. In the 1950s, when you watch TV, it was almost a reflection of real life. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. All right, back to the phones. Let's go to Chuck and Mills River, and we got to do this quick, dude, because it's stacking up.
That's cool, man. That's cool. I got a quick update. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Sorry, I'm in traffic here. Stopped. But, hey, I called up WLOS once again to find out about the improvised incendiary device. And they up until this past week, they were like, don't know. This past week, they told me that they had been told that if anybody asked about it, to call the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and ask about it. And I'm like, I'm going to be the last person to call the ATF and ask questions about an incendiary and, you know, an IED. So, dude, there's, like, no information on the bomb, basically, that they found up on the parkway in Transylvania. I think it's Transylvania County. It's not Buncombe. But right. I just thought that was interesting. I'm not calling them. I mean, if you want to call them and find out, that's what you're supposed to do, according to WLOS News Desk
gotcha.
Manager, I guess, now.
Yes, sir.
So
let me jump.
I hope that was quick enough.
Yes, sir. Thank you much. Cool. Yes, sir. Let's go to Brian and Gaffney. Yes, sir.
Hey, Bill. I love your show. It's a great boomer show. But I was wondering, how is Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin going to do their job if you're doing it for them right now, with as far as Candace Owens is concerned?
I have no idea. I don't listen to anybody else, literally.
Yeah, you're using all their talking points. They hate Candace because they disagree with her. They
I have no
going all to Israel.
I don't. I have no feeling whatsoever for her about it as a person because I don't know her. I don't care.
You know, their motto is Israel first.
Okay. Well, okay. They're Jewish, and
they're something. There should be U.S. first or U.S. only.
Well, you know, you're intertwining some things in there. I was talking about Candace Owens. I don't, in the same vein as to where I don't know Candace Owens, I don't know Mark Levin or Ben Shapiro's actual motivations
well, you're doing
for
their
anything
show,
they do.
It sounds like
I'm doing my show. And you know what? Let's go to Kevin and Lawrence. Yes, sir.
I'm not too sure if sometime in the near future we're not going to end up seeing a video of Hunter and Candace partying together. I have to say, after a few years in the law enforcement, it's starting to sound like crackhead gibberish to me.
You think they're sharing the same lines?
They might be. You know, it runs in the White House sometimes.
But, I mean, does Candace Owens go to the White House?
She's been there a time or two, hasn't she?
Yeah, but, I mean, listen, you know, as far as this goes, if she actually has, in the event, you know what? I'm going to leave your statement as it is because it's pretty doggone funny. I think it's pretty doggone funny, but thank you very much for the call. If you have, listen, somebody at that level, if you have a viable, true, you think it's a real deal, real world threat, the first thing you do is you go to ground. You get rid of your phone, you get a burner phone, you get nothing but cash, and you disappear. You do not go on X. You don't get out there and start talking about, well, I have accounts, numbers, and this, that, the other. Because if it was real, then she's lucky to still be breathing right about now. If it was real. Because if they were really targeting her, it'd be sort of like that Khashoggi guy that they killed. I don't remember which. He was Middle Eastern, and they were Middle Eastern, and they killed him, and they, you know, they dissected him so they could get out of the hotel without anybody knowing. And nobody's ever found his body. But, when you get out there and it's, the Macrons who I've been, they're trying to sue me, and they contacted the Israelis who I'm blaming for Charlie Kirk's death, and they're coordinating with them to get me murder death killed. When that's your statement, I mean, you're going to have to give me a little more than that, not besides a high-placed employee of the French government, a high-placed employee. I hate to tell you this, but there's not a memo that goes around in anybody's government, and I'm fairly certain of this. There's no memos that go around going, well, as we were saying earlier today, we have decided to kill Candace Owens. Just in time for Thanksgiving, which we don't celebrate. Yeah, that's not what happens. But hey, I know that once again we're back here and we're captured by the unreal. That just proves my point. And I'm doing Ben Shapiro and Levin's show, even though I don't listen to them and I have no idea what they talk about. Couldn't tell you. And, consequently, I'm probably not doing their show. On the text line, imagine how many death threats Alex Jones gets per day. I actually know that because I know his board op. And Alex and I were at the same network for a time in the old Boiler Room syndication days. So I know that number. And I have my thoughts on that as well. But I noticed that Alex Jones doesn't post about them on X and give out the details of his would-be assassins. If that's actually the case. But in any event, ponder the real and the unreal. They're trying to fool us on a daily basis. And falling for it means that you get out there and you become concerned about the Candace's Owenses of the world. Coming up next, it is the Charlie James Show. And this is News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas.